Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that we have an opportunity to hear you speak to us through them. So this morning, Father, we pray that we'd have open hearts and open minds to hear you speak to us. We pray that this morning we might learn more about you, more about ourselves, and more about what it means to be members of your kingdom. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, English is a strange language. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but it is an incredibly strange language. I know that some of my Iranian brothers and sisters, some of my Chinese brothers and sisters, some of my Malaysian brothers and sisters have real trouble understanding English idioms and English colloquialisms. So when I say to people of a certain age and a certain ethnic background, you need to mind your P's and Q's, I'm not talking about what happens if the toilets are full out the front and you need to line up. What I'm saying is that you need to be careful about what the alphabet letters tell you. Well, if you go to Spain and you want to take a bath or a shower, you need to watch your H's and C's, not your P's and Q's. Because an H on the tap in the Spanish bathroom means helada, cold. And a C on the tap means caliente, hot. And so if you walk in there, like most people do in the morning, like, and look for the taps, you say, H, ah, you will get a bit of a shock. And if you go for the C tap, well, you won't be in the shower very long. You'll be out. The unsuspecting people can be surprised by quite a lot if they haven't got their eyes open. Before the birth of Jesus, there was a sense of expectation, a sense of hope about what might happen. People are wanting, waiting and wondering. It's been 300 or 400 years since the people of Israel have heard from God. And they're wondering, what happens next? Why hasn't God spoken to us? And then they start to think, maybe the Messiah's on the way. And as time goes on, they start to think more and more, the Messiah is coming. They have this huge expectation that the Messiah is coming. And then he's coming soon. And they're starting to look and they're starting to wait. And they're really excited because Israel at this time has been invaded by many countries and God hasn't seemed to have rescued them. And the latest people to invade them are the Romans. And the people of Israel are really excited, because the Messiah will turn up and he's going to turn things around. He's going to free Israel from all her enemies. The Messiah is going to bring in the kingdom of God. But if these people have these huge expectations, had gone into Bethlehem one night and out in the back blocks and the stable behind the pub, they'd seen this little baby in an animal food trough, they would have been incredibly, well, what would they have said? That's it? There's all these angels in the heaven? All these promises about what the Messiah is going to do? And we've got a little baby? What's God on about? We can be surprised if we don't take notice of what's around us. No one looking at this baby could have guessed how this child is going to change the world. No one can imagine the impact this baby is going to have on world history, how he's going to change people's lives forever. Actually, not even Mary really understood the difference that the child she was carrying would make. She really didn't get her head around it completely. She knew this baby is something special. I mean, not many people have an angel tell them that they're pregnant. Nowadays, it's usually you've got a bit of a sense and you go to the doctor and the doctor says, yep. But Mary, she gets an angel to say, guess what, Mary, you're pregnant. And Mary wouldn't have been too excited about that, and I'll explain why a little bit later. But in spite of her fear, and in spite of being overwhelmed by having an angel turn up, Mary says these amazing words just before our reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She says, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And I want you to keep those words in mind as we think about how Mary responds to this news that she's going to bear the Saviour of the world. Because she hears from the angel and then she goes off to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. And the baby within her starts to jump and move. And she's pregnant and unmarried and very young. And she sings with praise to God. She's an unusual woman, this Mary. So Mary's song, as we've just heard read to us by Penny, is one that's full of praise and worship and thanksgiving to God. It declares God's mighty power. It declares his great mercy. It declares how faithful God is to his people. And this morning I want to think about three sentences, three verses in Mary's song. Verse 46, verse 47. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Verse 49, the mighty one has done great things. And verse 54, he's helped his servant Israel. And Mary's this first phrase I want to look at, verse 40, end of verse 46, into verse 47. My soul magnifies the Lord. We don't use the word magnify that often, unless we're talking about magnifying glasses or microscopes or things to make things look bigger. So what's my soul? Is this my soul gets bigger by make bigger the Lord? No, it doesn't make sense. This is an old English word. It means to glorify God, to praise God, to give God honour due to his name, to worship him. My soul glorifies God, worships the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Mary begins her song by praising God for the promise of salvation. She's praising God because God is going to rescue and save his people. And Mary's first response to hearing the news that she's pregnant and she's going to give birth to the Saviour of the world is to say, thanks God, you're amazing. I'm not sure many people would have done that. We need to remember that this time Mary is probably about 13 years old. That's the time in Jesus' day when young women were betrothed or promised to someone in marriage. And they got married a year later, so at 14. So Mary is somewhere between the ages of 13 and 14 when she's singing this song. She's hearing this news. In our culture, we're sort of aware that sexual relationships before marriage are quite frequent and happen quite often. And it can be hard to appreciate that the step of faith that Mary's being asked to take. Because Mary knows that most, if not all, the people in her community will assume that she has had a child outside of marriage. And that's a big note. She could face death, the death penalty for that. That's what you do with adulterous people. You kill them. So Mary's 13 or 14. The angel comes and says, guess what? You're going to have it. You're pregnant. You're going to have a baby. He's going to be the saviour of the world. And by the way, you're not married. It's huge, shocking news for Mary. And she is still able to praise God for his goodness. She has amazing spiritual maturity for her age. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking that Mary's response helps us to understand why God chose her to be the mother of Jesus. Because she's aware that God owes her nothing, but she owes God everything. And it's a really wonderful attitude to think that as we prepare for Christmas, that we actually owe God everything. He owes us nothing. But God loved us so much, as John's Gospel tells us, that he gave us a son, a saviour to be born. The other thing I wanted to think about is that Mary doesn't say, my spirit rejoices in God, the Saviour. Mary says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Mary knew that even though she was bringing God's Son into the world, she had need of him as much as anybody else. So she was aware of her own sinfulness and her own need and the great privilege it was to be the mother of Jesus. And the pressure that would put on her socially and the risks it would put her life at, and she says, praise God, you are amazing. Thank you for what you are doing. It's just an amazing response. Well, the second thing I want to think about, and the phrase that Mary puts in her song that I want to think about this morning is verse 49. The Mighty One has done great things. Mary sings in her song how God is going to turn the world around, turn it right side up. There's a little book that I've had for a long, long time by a guy called, he's an American, I think, but he's okay. He wrote this book, and it's called The Upside Down Kingdom. And it's his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. And Mary starts here by saying when the Messiah comes, the kingdom will turn things upside down. But it's actually not turning things upside down, it's turning things right side up. What we see around us is upside down. Jesus comes to put things right side up. And what does Mary say is the right side up thing about the world? Well, God scatters the proud. God brings down rulers from their thrones. He lifts up the lowly. God fills the hungry. He sends the rich away with empty stomachs. Those who are proud and arrogant have power and ability to oppress others. Well, God scatters them. Those who rule with injustice, pulled off their thrones. Those who are humble, they're put in their place. Those who use their wealth to oppress the poor would live in spiritual hunger. Those who are poor in this world will be filled with all the good things of God. That's putting things right side up. That's what the Messiah has come to do. When Jesus is born, the kingdom starts to happen. This process is already underway from Jesus' birth. It will come to fruition when he returns in glory. And all these things that Mary sings about and gives thanks to God for take place because of what Jesus will do. Jesus is the Saviour who's going to right the wrongs of the world, put things to right. And Mary sings about something else as well. That third phrase, the last couple of verses in our reading. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Mary's referring here to God's covenant promises with the people of Israel. Covenant is a really important idea in the Bible. A covenant is an agreement between two or more partners or organizations. Okay, you can have a covenant with three or four people, but here God makes a covenant, an agreement between himself and the people of Israel. God doesn't need to make the covenant to remind himself of the promises. God makes the covenant to help us remember what God has promised. God always keeps his promises. God never forgets. God is 100% reliable. If God promises, God will deliver. Unlike certain transport companies that make that promise, or Australia Post, God delivers 100% on time all the time. Okay? We have covenants to help us remember what God has promised to do. It helps us to remember that even when we don't seem to see anything happening, God is at work behind the scenes. I read this week about some university students who had this competition to see who could get the most amount of food with a certain amount of money and then give it away to homeless people sleeping rough in the city. Well, some went to Aldi's, a favourite supermarket of some clergy. Some went to NQR, not quite right, and others to Victoria Market. And they ended up with huge amounts of fresh food and vegetables, dried food, canned food to give away. But one person took their share of the money and went off and got some Brunetti's takeaway coffee and some Danish pastries and some really lovely desserts. Things that people really love to eat, real treats. And that's actually how God gives. God gives extravagantly and lavishly and unexpectedly. God delivers more than we expect, and it's just amazing gifts. That's Mary's experience of what God has done, and that's why she sings this song, because she is totally overwhelmed by how good God is. Each Sunday in Advent, we're lighting a candle during the service, and you'll notice that the candles increase in number. That's why the first one we lit is nearly out, because it's really short, because it's been burning for three services now. The Advent candles remind us that we too are people who have our own expectations, our own ideas of who Jesus is and what will happen when he returns. And just like the time before the first coming of Jesus, there are rumours that Jesus is coming again. Particularly, I think, after the United States election, people are thinking, I hope Jesus comes back before the 4th of January or the 11th of January, whenever it is. So what can we expect when the kingdom finally comes? Well, Mary's song reminds us, as we wait in hope and expectation, we know God will keep his promises. And we know, like Mary, that God has promised to forgive us. He's promised to have victory over the world. He's promised to put the world right side up. And he's promised to come in mercy and justice and love. We have a lot to be thankful for. And the best thing we can do is to have that attitude of Mary's. When Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." That's the promise that Mary makes us. It's the promise that Mary gives to us. That's why it's there in the scriptures, to teach us how we respond to God's goodness. Let's pray. Father, we've got so much to be thankful for things seen and unseen, for things that we can't comprehend, for things that we don't understand, for things that we don't even know about. Father, we thank you for all you've done in our lives, for calling us, for healing us, for restoring us and for renewing us. We thank you that you sent your Son to live and to die and to rise again to set us free from the power and curse of sin. We give you thanks that you sent your Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us and strengthen us and empower us. Thank you for calling us to be citizens of your kingdom. Thank you that you keep your promises. Father, help us to never tire of giving you thanks. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.